One last announcement. If you are interested in singing in a choir special, there's a sign up on your connection card that I know you're going to have to go and get in the offering plate and look for your connection card. But if you'll sign up, call the office, let them know that you're interested. That will be, they're planning for one special, and it will require practices. It's not just a walk in and sing away, but a number of practices, likely on Wednesday or Sunday evenings. So please, would love to have you be a part of that worship time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There you go. First rehearsal this Wednesday evening at 6:30. All right. Please, you're going to have to rush fast to get in front of me for this opportunity. We appreciate your being a part of that if you can. This morning our study is entitled A Father and a Son and a Sheep Herd. A father, a son, together they run. And a father, a son, and a sheep herd, together we run. Everyone needs a father. Everyone needs a son. And everyone needs the sheep herd. And there is tremendous encouragement from God's word and a tremendous, very practical challenge for it. We're going to begin our study this morning in 1 Corinthians 9, and I'm going to read that text for you, and then we have a short video clip that we want to use to introduce our study this morning. We're going to look at several father and son combinations, three or four of those this morning. And that clip will kind of open the picture for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race, they all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The backdrop of this text is the Corinthian Isthmian Games, which would be similar to the Athens Olympics that gave birth to the Olympic movement today, talking about the athletes who would discipline themselves, train for success individually in those games. That is used as a backdrop to challenge each of us on the race that we are to run in life. And as we look into our text this morning, the race that we run together. So would you follow on the screen and let's look at some of the father-son combinations that are instructive for us this morning.
Thank you.
God the Father loved the world so much that he gave up what was very precious to him so that his creation might be able to come back into a right relationship with him. That is the love of the Father. That is the love of his Son. That is the love which motivates us and moves us each and every day, not just for us, but for the benefit of others. And that's where we see where the body of Christ comes in. And the body of Christ is there for us to meet us and assist us in our needs. And it is the body of Christ that gives us the means and the avenue to assist others, to encourage others along the way as well. Everyone needs the Father. Everyone needs the Son and the salvation that Jesus Christ offers to us. And everyone needs the benefit of the body of Christ, the collective sheep, to enhance and encourage them in their race, and to have a means to encourage others in the body of Christ as well. As we have looked at one of the Father and Son combinations, Team Hoyt, we get the sense that they are isolated and incomplete without each other. But united, connected, there is a sense of completion and a sense of inspiration for us. Team Hoyt, in a sense, reflects the harmony of Team Heaven and the beauty of the triunity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working in tandem, connected cohesion for our benefit. We have before us a heaven-enthroned Father and a heaven-tuned Son that make a unique dynamic combination. And today they still have an unshakable impact on all who linger in their shadow. And they teach us the all-powerful lesson of forgiveness or togetherness as we see their work in the work of salvation. We're looking at Father-Son combinations. We've seen Team Hoyt. We've seen Team Heaven. Well, not all Father and Son combinations are quite like that. There's another combination we'll call Team Hall of Fame. And that is the combination of a couple of men. We'll call them Marv and Todd. Marv had this dream to give birth to the ideal, perfect, professional quarterback. So he chose his wife carefully. He chose the perfect wife to be with him to produce the perfect son. And they do have a fair amount of success in this equation, in this endeavor. Sports Illustrated at one time identified their son as the most outstanding high school quarterback prospect in the country, a sure can't-miss superstar in the making. Marv did all that he could to make that superstar a superstar. If you read the story of their life, bred to be a superstar, you read that his son, growing up as a child, never ate a Big Mac, an Oreo, or a Ding Dong. Guess what we offered this morning might not have helped. When he went to birthday parties, he took his own birthday cake and ice cream. Somehow there's healthy birthday cake and healthy ice cream. So his son brought his own cake and ice cream to the party. He reportedly was teething on frozen kidneys in the crib. And that was the story of his life. In every stage of his life, professionals brought in to enhance him and help him. And there is some success there. As a high school quarterback, he threw for just shy of 10,000 yards in his career, more than Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, and other Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Went on to success in college, and he was drafted into the NFL first round. And he flamed out after 2 years due to drug issues. His dad tried all that he could, invested all kinds of energy into raising the perfect quarterback son. He did go on to say, maybe I got a little fanatical about it, but I think you have to be fanatical to achieve any decent level of success. Well, this morning, our question is, what is success? As we run the race that Scripture talks about, that Paul talks about, that those Corinthian games serve as the backdrop for, what really is success for a father, for a son, for all of us in the body of Christ? Now, we all aspire to be reasonably productive in life. If you're a parent, we all want great things for our kids. I've never met a parent who showed off their new child to me and said, we're really praying that he's an abject failure. There is that desire for success, but we don't really totally know what that success means, what it calls for, where the Scriptures give us some direction and challenge us in our thinking about where we will put our energy and efforts in our own life, but also in the life of all those that we have a sphere of influence on, especially those in our own families. What is success? Where do we put our priorities? Where do we put our passions? Run in such a way that you may win eternally. Run for team eternity, for eternal prize, for eternal recognition, is the thrust of Paul's words for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And God, through his word, lays out for us what is that one worthy target that is to capture my passion, that is to capture the priorities in my life. It's not winning the Hall of Fame race, but it is winning the faith and family race together. Just in contrast to the Olympic and the Isthmian Games, Paul reminds us that our Christian race, the race of life, is not a matter of competition with one another, but it is a matter of the triunity of God completing every aspect of our life. And one of the ways he does that is through the investment of the body of Christ into us and our investment into the body of Christ into others. There are people to speak truth into your life and live truth in your life in the body of Christ. And there are people who need you in the body of Christ. Paul reminds us that we are to run the Father's race, we are to run our faith race, and we also have a together race in the body of Christ with his sheep, with his flock. The Christian life is all about relationships. Normal Christianity is about thriving relationships. We are a relational people. And as we grow in life, we need to grow in our connection with people and learn how to communicate with people and learn how to cooperate with people in a common bond, in unity for a common goal. And the body of Christ beautifully fleshes that out for us. Normal Christianity is about thriving relationships, especially with God. When we come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we are born again, we understand the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. We understand the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We accept those truths personally into our life, that Jesus Christ is the answer to my sin problem. He is the solution to my life. And we trust and we embrace in that work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And with salvation comes a new relationship with God. We have a relationship with a good, good Father. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, represent complete, perfect, 100% love. And complete, perfect, 100% holiness. At the same time, complete, perfect, and 100% justice. We have a good, good Father. And it talks about in Scripture that he doesn't want anyone to perish eternally. He doesn't want you to die eternally. And that's why he gave us Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as substitute, as our sacrifice. And that's also why he gives us the body of Christ to grow in our relationships, in our developing relationships with him. This morning, just two concepts we want to grasp as we look at running our race together. Father's Day 2018, and as we move into the summer, as we move into the rest of the year, where do we put our focus? Where do we put our passion? Where do we put our priority? We run an eternal race. It starts with coming to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That race continues, and there's two aspects to it this morning. There is a my race, and there is an our race. And you need to factor yourself into both of those equations if we're going to get this race, this life, our life, my life, and our life correctly. Number one, there is my race. There is your race. Here's our reason to get out of bed in the morning. Here's the reason that we take another breath. Here's the reason why we don't abandon breath, why we hold on to it no matter the challenges, no matter the disappointments or the frustrations or the circumstances of life. I have a race to run. You have a race to run. God has designed that race. He has designed the course of your life. I cannot explain all the twists and turns. I cannot always explain the cloudy days and the days of disappointment. But I do understand that I have a race to run and that God has designed the race course. And number three, I can trust him completely. I don't understand. That's right. We don't understand everything, but we understand. And what we can't understand is that God loves us. And there is a unique, eternal, tandem team working for our benefit, for our good, for his glory. We have a race to run. We have our own individual race to run. We talked about that from Hebrews 12 a couple weeks ago. God has designed the course, and we can trust him. He is a good, good Father. And no one else compares better than God. And that's where you've got to put your trust and your confidence, or you'll go crazy. There is a my race to run. My life is not just about me. It is about the Father. It is about the Son. It is about the Spirit and the race that he has laid out for us. And he's not making it up as he goes. He has put it together in eternity past. And while I don't always understand it, my responsibility is to take the next step, to take the next step forward with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the power of his Spirit. The race is not just about me. It is about him running alongside me. We run the race laid out for us by our map maker. And as we run, remember that you're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. You're not an add-on. In a crowd this size, we have all kinds of different backgrounds and experiences. You may have had a great relationship with an earthly father. You may have had a terrible relationship with an earthly father. You may not know who your earthly father is. The scriptures remind us that none of us are an accident. None of us are an afterthought. None of us are an add-on. We are part of God's eternal plan for this entire universe laid out in eternity past. And while that brings us some strength, some encouragement, we also need to look beyond ourselves, and we'll look at that in our second thought in just a moment. But everyone else that we lock eyes on in the family of God is also not an accident. It is also not an afterthought. Is also not an add-on. But let's focus on ourselves for just a moment, even though that might sound a little weird. I have my race to run. I have a race to run and finish for God, and there are things that only I can do on this planet. There are things that only you can do that God has uniquely gifted you to do on this planet at this time in history. We have a race to run and finish for God. At times that race will be so easy, going downhill, just a few feet, the wind's at our back. It's so easy. And other times, it is a long, drudging, grueling, consuming marathon. And everything seems to go against us. That's part of the uniqueness, the challenges, and the dynamics of our race. And again, we must go back to a good, good Father laying out the course for us. If it was easy, there would be no requirement of faith. But when it's not easy, God calls us to faith and obedience. Calls us to do what's right in the eyes of God, even when everything seems wrong, even when everything seems in our face against us. There is a race to run and win that involves me and my Heavenly Father and His Son and His Spirit. There is also another race at the same time, or another component of that race, that is our race together. You see, it's not just about me, it's about my relationship and my race with the Father. It is also not just about me, it is about us together, running our together race, as we saw earlier with Team Hoyt, and as we see in the unique cohesion between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we are born again, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, all kinds of mind-blowing, awesome things happen. We are immediately baptized into the body of Christ. We are permanently indwelt by His Spirit. We are uniquely gifted for our race together. If you come over with me to chapter 12 of this letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and jump in with me at verse about 12:13. There is my race, there is our race together. A race that we run together as fellow Christians, as the body of Christ. Check out what Paul instructs us in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one, so also is Christ. Okay, you think of your physical body for a second. It's made up of all kinds of stuff. all kinds of parts. Parts that are diverse, but work together in unity. Again, picturing the beauty of the body of Christ. Diverse parts that are called to work together in unity for the glory of God. Verse 13, it talks about one spirit, one body. Wherever we're at in the planet, there is that commonality that being born again brings to us. But let's drop down into verse 20 and 21. Many members, one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand would be foolish to say, the head would be foolish to say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, just the opposite. The members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Every part plays a part. Some of them are out front in public and some are private, but they are all essential. They are all necessary. They all need to work together in unity and community. So that, verse 25, there is no division in the body. And members are to care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, we all receive the honor in all that. And it goes on to say, God has appointed and placed and prepared what the body needs in the body for the benefit of the body. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It is also about us together running the race that God has laid out for us collectively as a church. We are part of a whole, and apart from the whole, we are incomplete, just as we saw in one of those race tandems earlier. And if we miss our target, it affects not just us, it affects others as well. We need to run our race effectively. We need to run our race together for the glory of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I frequently hear people say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe in organized religion. The triunity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, are united in purpose, are united in plan, are organized. And if the triunity of God is organized, then his people are called to be organized together in doing their mission for the glory of God. There is an organization in the Trinity, the triunity of God. There is a commitment and an active presence in the triunity of God, which serves as the picture for the people of God, the body of Christ, the church. We have our own unique race to run. We have a race to run together for the mutual benefit of others and ourselves. We all need to run our race. We need to run our race with our Father, with our Son, with the Son who provides us salvation. We need to run in the strength of the Spirit, and we need to run our together race as the body of Jesus Christ. Stu Weber has written a number of books on the benefit and the challenge of being a godly father in today's world. If you're someone who is looking to go forward, to grow and develop as a father, I would recommend some of his books to you. In his book, Tender Warrior, Stu Weber talks about a time with his own father, a time of growth and reflection. This is what he has to say. My dad's physical strength showed up in a lot of projects, chores, and such things as throwing, skipping rocks across rivers. But on one day in particular, I was struck again with the strength, with his strength, and how his strength could and did touch me. Down the hill from our house was a vacant lot. And on occasion, Dad and I would go down there together and play around, play catch. And we were down there one day, and I'll never forget the trip home. In the midst of our activity, Mom came out on the front porch and gave us the old mom call. Supper's ready. She called us to supper. Dad and I glanced at each other. Our eyes met and they sparkled. And without a word, we both sensed it was time for a race. And we took off. It was about 150 yards up to our house. And it was so much fun running with my dad. It was great. But try as I might, my little legs could not keep up with his long ones. And Dad began to pull ahead. My neck strained, my muscles stretched, but I was losing ground. Then something really special happened. Dad, seeing me start to drop back, reached out his hand to me, and his eyes said, "Grab hold, let's run together." We're reminded everyone needs a Savior, everyone needs a Father, everyone needs a Son to invest in, and everyone needs people to encourage and strengthen them. He said, "Grab hold, let's run together." Still running, my little hand slipped into his larger ones. And it was like magic. His power lifted me off the ground. I took off in his strength. My speed doubled because my dad was a hold of me. And that's a lot like life. A kid's speed doubles when dad takes hold at home. Dads, pull your families forward in the faith together. Take hold, Dad. Run for all you're worth. Hold on in the face of storms and disappointments and sorrows and temptations and hurts and crazy churning circumstances. Hold on and run together with your family. There's not much of anything in life that children can't face when their dad is a man of God whose strong hand is wrapped tightly around theirs. And while you're at it, with your other hand, hold tightly to your Heavenly Father's hand. Let him be your confidence and wisdom and stability when you just can't find your own strength. Let his strength pull you up life's long hills until you stand together laughing and catching your breath on heaven's front porch. Isn't that what dads are for? That's the Father we have in heaven. That's the Father we are called to be on earth. Find strength from those who are running strong, and also share our strength with others who need our encouragement as well. Think about the relationship with your father for a moment. Again, all across the board and where we likely are with our earthly fathers, but we are reminded that we are all here by divine appointment and divine assignment. And the natural response is to thank our Heavenly Father for our gift of life. And if our earth, at least our earthly father has contributed to that. But thank God for your life. Number two, your biological father, my biological father, my father's father, all imperfect fathers. And on Father's Day, it seems somehow some of our thoughts are drawn to those times of imperfection, of which we've been guilty of or which we've been the recipient of. While we thank God for our life, it is also wise to release the pain of imperfection into the hands of a perfect, good, good father. To release the pain of earthly imperfection into his hand and to let it go and to move forward. They say bitterness is like grabbing a handful of broken glass, squeezing it, and hoping someone else's hand starts bleeding. We understand that's not wise. So for all of us, it's a good time to think about the perfectly heavenly Father we have. Thank him for our life, for whatever contribution our earthly father has been to us, and to release the disappointment and the pain into the hands of a grace and mercy driven relationship with God. And thirdly, be God's man, be God's person for your world. There are people that need your strength and your ability, your availability in the body of Christ. That's why it's so important to be connected and to be giving. Everyone needs a father. Everyone needs a spiritual father. And you can be that spiritual father, that spiritual nurturer to those in your sphere of influence in this church. We all need a father. We all need the son. We all need a son, a person to pour our lives into. We all need the benefit of the sheep herd, the body of Christ, to strengthen us for the race each and every day. Think about where you're at in those relationships. They're all called to be thriving, growing, and developing. We're never satisfied, but always progressing for the glory of Jesus Christ. As we go to prayer, I just invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Just think for a moment about your relationship with God the Father. Have you accepted that free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ? Are you ready to step into eternity? Are you ready to step into tomorrow with a sense of purpose in your life? And what are you offering up? What am I offering up for others, for the glory of Jesus Christ? Together we run our race for the glory of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the strength that you give us every day. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers that gives me the opportunity to grow in my faith and to have somewhere to put that energy that comes from my relationship with you. And Lord, I thank you for those who have poured into our lives, and again for the opportunity to pour our life into others. We are excited about what the future holds because we know it is in the hands of a perfect Father who works his perfect eternal plan for our eternal good, for his eternal glory. And Father, Son, and Spirit, we just want to pause and say thank you for that work that you have done and will do in our hearts and lives. As we listen to your Spirit right now, refresh us with your truth. Help us with commitments that we need to make, changes that we need to make, encouragement that we need to grasp, energy that we need to focus. And we thank you that you give us every opportunity to do the right thing for the glory of Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's